Yeah.
The thousands.
Are we sure?
Yeah. The thousands. We remember them fondly.
We do. What a formative time in our lives, really.
It was very formative. That's a great word for it, because it definitely shaped me into the TV-obsessed maniac that I am today.
Absolutely. The 2000s, I feel like it was a decent time for TV. I mean, I know everybody is like, oh, this is the golden age of TV, but like, I don't know, the 2000s, it was a... Well, we've talked about this with movies, where, you know, like, thousands of movies are just like, they have these like insane premises.
Yes.
That are like balls to the wall for no reason.
That is very true. I mean, it does work. I think it was just that time period is where it worked the best. Yeah. Well, I feel like the thousands were definitely the best for... I was about to say animated shows, but that... I mean, that's true, but also, like... I feel like it was really good for sitcoms. Like, the thousands were really good for sitcoms.
It was. And I was thinking about this as we were compiling our list. The thousands is really where we shifted from multicam to single cam.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And, like, really how, like, single cam became the... pretty much the desired medium for sitcoms and comedies. And, like, I think that that's really where the dramedy was sort of perfected, was in the thousands. Because if you think about, like, Scrubs was, like, a really popular show.
Yeah.
And that really was, like, that encapsulated, like, the meaning of dramedy. And it was a single cam comedy. But there was a lot of dramatic elements to it. A lot of it was drama.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really where that sort of genre was perfected. And
I agree. Yeah. It was definitely... They figured out how to toe a line with that show. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had to sneeze.
Bless you.
They really figured out how to toe a line with that show, because there were a lot of dramatic elements that fed into the, like, overarching storyline, like the through line that they would do for the show. But they, like, mm-hmm. treated it with a comedic manner.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, that show had, like, I feel like it had extremes. Like, they were either doing something totally wild and comedic, or completely dramatic and sad.
Yeah. There was no in-between for that show, really.
There was not. There were no moments of, like, okay, this is just a show. It was either, like, you were cracking up or you were, like, crying.
And I think that really had to do with just Zach Braff.
You think?
Yeah. I feel like that's him. He's... I don't know if he's... Well, I consider a bit of, Garden State to probably be biographical, but
why do I feel like we've talked about this before?
Because we probably have. We've talked about this movie so many times without actually talking about it.
Yeah, we have.
But, you know, I feel like Zach Braff is probably someone who struggles with depression, so I feel like that fed into what Scrubs was.
Yeah.
But anyway, enough about Scrubs.
We're not talking about Scrubs today.
We're not. We're talking about thousand shows that we remember.
Yeah, I feel like we're talking about... We tried to, like, pinpoint exactly what sort of genre we were talking about. And I feel like it's, like, ones that nobody really talks about anymore. But, like, when you say it, everyone's like, oh my god, I remember that show. Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's exact. Right? That's exactly what it is. Yeah. So, let's start with what I like about you, because this is where the inception of this episode came from. We were just randomly talking about what I like about you.
Well, because last episode, when we were talking about The Good Place, I mentioned the mom, Eleanor's mom, and then we were talking about that actress, because she was from that show.
True, yeah, because she played the best friend.
Yes. She was probably the funniest character on the show. Like, just in terms of, like... I feel like she was just, she was like, I just watched You're the Worst, so I feel like she was the Lindsay of that show.
Yeah, she definitely
really
was.
Really slutty, really funny, kind of stupid.
Because that was the trend. You had to, like, the best friend had to have, like, I don't know, I think it was, I want to say the character of Phoebe from Friends really kind of made that particular character fun, like, really popular, that, like, ditzy yet, you know, what's the word for it? Like, useful? Ditzy yet useful best friend?
Yeah, that's interesting. Phoebe, I don't know, she doesn't really, like, she's not really that character to me, because Phoebe was, like, spacey, but she wasn't stupid. Like, I feel like there's, like, I almost feel like it's Joey, but female.
That's, yeah. Actually, maybe that's a better explanation. I think
there's
it was just...
there's the sluttiness aspect to this character trope.
Oh, yeah.
So important, you know?
they have to be a slut. They just have to be.
Yeah, they have to, they just have to be chomping down on dick every other episode.
Hashtag promiscuous girl.
But yeah, she was the sister's best friend. She was...
Val. I think her name was Val.
Jenny McCarthy? Is that who that is?
No, the other one. She's from, like...
What's her name?
Is she from Melrose Place? Or no, she's from 90210. The original...
Yeah.
She's from the original 90210.
What the fuck is her name? Not Jenny McCarthy. What the fuck is her name?
Damn it, you asked me too fast. Now I forgot.
Jenny... Who cares? Okay.
Jenny. Her name is just Jenny.
Her name... Well, it is Jenny. I'm gonna look it up.
The only thing that's coming to mind is Jenny Slate, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, remember when Jenny Slate was on What I Like About You?
As an infant.
Like 9 years. Yeah, that show, I watched a good amount of that show. Like, I feel like I've seen most of it.
I watched a lot of it just because it was what was on TV. Because back then we didn't
Jenny
have...
Jenny Garth. I'm
there
so
we
sorry.
Go.
Jenny Garth.
I'm so mad because I definitely knew that.
Yeah.
She used to be married to, what's his name? Facinelli. Joe Facinelli? He played, he was in Twilight. He played the dad, the doctor.
Okay.
They were married for a long time. They have, like, two kids or something.
That's very funny.
I only know that because her and Chelsea Handler are actually fairly good friends.
Okay. That's interesting.
Chelsea Handler's friends with a lot of random white blonde women.
Oh, yeah. Every white blonde from television, she's just like, you. Like, what's her name? From In Plain Sight. You remember In Plain Sight?
I want to say yes, but I don't. But
yeah,
no.
Yeah, that's the woman who's, like, on Chelsea's show all the time.
The one who's married to, what's-his-face from American Pie?
Maybe.
Anyway.
I don't know anyone's name.
I know, we're just, like, vaguely talking around. Like, I know bits of their lives, but I don't know their name.
Oh, Mary Shepherd, I think her name is.
Oh. All
right. Anyway.
So What I Like About You. Yeah, I liked that show. Like, this was, like, way back before, you know, cable got advanced and you had, like, the actual guide and shit. You just had to, like, pick a channel and then you just watched it for hours.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I remember this would be on the WB a lot. And then would also be, I want to say it was on ABC Family at some point.
Yeah, probably.
And I remember I would just watch it because it was on, and I'm like, this is technically family friendly, so no one will bother me if I'm watching it.
Technically. It was like, it did really, like, toe that line of the mid-thousands sitcom of being, like, kind of dirty and exploring very adult topics, but also, like, quote-unquote family-friendly.
Yeah.
Because it's still, like, daytime television.
And I think that's really what the early thousand sitcom is about. It's, like, towing that line. You have to... You have to get out the box. You have to be, like, grabbing people with these topics, but... At the same time, they were, like, family-friendly and stuff.
Just grab them.
Just grab them in the street.
Grab them in the street. Yeah, I mean, like, if you think about it, like, all of the women on the show, and this was a very female-driven show. Like, there were almost exclusively female main characters, except for her one friend, and then her and Jenny Graff's, like, continuing boyfriends. Like, whoever was, like, the main boyfriend of the season was, like, a continuing male character. But then, and then there was the one best friend.
Yeah, the black guy best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Did they try and get Amanda Bynes and him together at one point?
No, I think that they tried to pair him and the other best friend together.
Okay. Oh, the other girl best friend who...
Yeah.
Who's always been tertiary, honestly. Like, I've seen her in a couple of different things, and she's always just been, like, the best friend.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely one of those character actresses. She was really funny on that show, too, though. Like, she was definitely...
Yeah. Nick Zano came out of this show, though.
Who?
Nick Zano. I think he played Amanda Bynes' character's boyfriend after... I want to say the first dude was Ben, who was, like, a friend of hers, and then she, like, realized that she liked him like that, and then they dated for a little bit, and then I think he just, like, fucked off to England or some shit.
So, yeah, so this show did that, like, they did that love triangle for a while, I remember, because it was the classic, like, nerdy sweet guy versus, like, the hot guy.
Yeah.
Right?
And then she picked the nerdy sweet guy, and then he just, like, fucking broke her heart.
Yeah, who did she actually end up with? Do we remember? Did she end up with hot guy?
I want to say.
Probably because the other guy was, like, doing other projects. Like, the other actor was, like...
Yeah, either that or he came back at some point. I just remember Val, she was with her one boyfriend for a long time on that show. He was playing with Simon Rex, but...
Yeah, he became a really regular character.
And I liked him. I liked him on that show.
Yeah.
Which probably parlayed into him being in Scary Movie 3.
Sure.
I'm just guessing that's how he got that role.
I mean, maybe.
But, you know, movie. Go ahead.
I always remember the episode where, I don't know why this one sticks out so much in my mind, where Val dates a homeless guy. she finds him on the street, and she's like, I'm gonna do this act of charity, and then she cleans him up, and then he's really hot. And then they date. I don't know why I remember this one so much, but I do, it's so funny.
It's a rags to riches story. It's like Cinderella. But with a hot guy.
This was also, I feel like the 2000 sitcom was also characterized by people, like the main characters having, first of all, impossible stupid jobs or like nothing jobs.
And then, it's true.
Also, they have these huge fucking loft apartments in New York City that you're like, or California, or LA, or, like, wherever, and you're like, girl, there is no way.
Yeah, I don't remember what city they were in, but they were definitely in a major city, and she had a huge...
They were in New York.
Oh, she had a fairly deep, like, a big-size apartment, and then she owned
huge.
She owned a bakery, apartment. I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, Val owned a bakery, and it was her apartment, and then... I don't remember what Amanda Bynes did, but I
want to say she was going to school. Like, didn't she move there because she was going to school or something?
That's right. She kind of was like, she had this whole, her career storyline was very, like, up and down. Like, she was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life, and blah, blah, blah. Like, she definitely quit school at some point.
Yeah, I definitely, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, anyway, enough about what I like. Enough about what I like about you.
Well, I'll say this. I feel like that aspect of her character was very different than a lot of, like, sitcom-y, especially for female characters.
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like you don't see that a lot with, like, because I feel like a staple of the sitcom is that, like, characters don't change that much, so they always are, like, set in their careers, like the character's career is always something that's like established from the beginning, mm-hmm. and then they just like do that, and that's like just part of their character. It's just a backdrop for like the rest of whatever they're doing. And so I feel like her, like a major part of her storyline being like her figuring out what she wanted to do with her life was kind of different.
Yeah.
For that genre.
I agree. But also it's very on brand for Amanda Bynes, because like if you look at her like the work that she's done, especially yeah. around that time period, like What a Girl Wants and stuff like that, or,
it's very
on brand for her. Like she
That's
was
a great movie.
She was really, I honestly feel like she was very influential in shaping, like, you know, either, well, both views of girls, you know, growing up at the time, but also, like, mm-hmm. influence, I don't know, maybe you could speak more to that, because you were a young woman growing up at the time. Do you feel like she kind of, like, showed you a different type of character that kind of fed into your development?
Yes, that's why I have no direction in life now. It's definitely not something I like acknowledged at the time, but yeah, she was very relatable in every single role that she's ever played. I feel like she was a very relatable human woman, because she, you know what I mean? she wasn't like an ideal woman. She wasn't something that like women of that age would be like, oh, I'll never be that sort of person. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, I feel like sometimes with, I don't know, I was going to say with shows today, but, like, it's not necessarily just today. It's, like, all time periods.
I got you.
Yeah, you do get very ideal female characters.
Well,
she always played a relatable gal, so.
I agree. Well, speaking of relating to to characters, let's talk about girlfriends.
Yeah, I never related to any of them, but
and I also
had their lives together.
Because you were a young lass when this was on, and I was a wee bean.
Yep.
I also didn't relate to these characters, but I loved the show. But this was...
I loved that show. I remember watching that with my mom a lot. Because it was, like, one of those ones that came on later. And my mom would still be awake, and I would still be awake. And we would be like, oh, Girlfriends is on.
This was also that weird time period where, like, the WB and UPN shared a channel. Mm. So, like, flip. It would be like, oh, now it's UPN. And you're like, what's going on?
Yeah, like, all of a sudden. And we're like, black people on your TV. And you were like, wow, this is different.
It was Black People After Dark. That's really what it was. I don't even remember what the schedule was for them flipping between the WB and UPN. Because, I mean, they did have shows that came on the WB at night. So it couldn't have been, like, at a certain time of night it flipped. I think it was, like, certain days, maybe?
A good question. I don't know.
Maybe they were just like, you guys take every other day and we'll split Sunday.
We'll split Sunday. It's like a divorce.
Yeah. That's really what it was. Is they got divorced and had to share the channel.
I'm gonna get Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and then we'll split Sundays. But we have to go to church.
And no Jewish holidays. Okay, bye.
Love it.
Yeah, so I always really liked Girlfriends just because, for one, it was, again, quote-unquote family-friendly, so I could watch it. I watched it also with my mom.
Yeah.
So it was one of those shows that I could watch with my mom, and it wasn't, like, too explicit that she would be like, oh, you need to go away, or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, I watched Sex in the City with my mom, to be fair. I mean, the edited version. I also feel like that Girlfriends was maybe a little bit more adult.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, and it's, like, subject matter, because they were a little bit more grown up.
Yeah, it was...
I don't know, was one of them married, or were they all single? I forget.
They were all single. No, wait, Maya, her character was married. Yeah, she was married and with a kid, and then, like, she was having issues with her husband. Right. That was, like, her whole thing. She was also, quote-unquote, the ghetto one. But really, she was just the one that kept it real. And she also shouted, oh, hell no, all the time. Oh, hell no!
Well, I feel like in that time period, like, you could still really get away with, like, very, like, black stereotypes that were, like, that if you, like, put them on TV now, it would be like, ooh, can't do that.
Yeah, like, I don't think it would, like, they would definitely have tweaked it for TV today, but weirdly enough, I don't feel like it played all that much into the whole stereotype thing. I'm like, I want to say that it was very more, I feel like they tried to handle it with a little bit more care. Because
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. No, it wasn't, it definitely was not, the show as a whole was good representation, and, like, I feel like was there were probably, like, black creators and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, writers.
I want to say.
Yeah.
But I feel like her, like, the character of Myra, she was definitely, like, the most stereotypical, I would say, of the characters. But because they knew that she was going to be the most stereotypical of the characters, they wanted to show, like, more facets to her. Like, yeah. They showed, like, a vulnerability to her that they didn't inherently do with, well, they did it with all the characters, but I want to say they wanted to do it way more with her character to be like, hey, like, they may, like, these characters, these people do exist, they do act like this, but, you know, they're people too. They have, like, their issues and shit. Like, she had, I want to say her son's name was, like, Jabari or something like that. Or at least that's the name that's popping up in my mind.
Jabari.
I always related the most to Lynn, who was the one who didn't really have much of a, she didn't have a job.
Oh, you're right, it was Jabari.
See, I remember everything well.
That's hilarious. I was just looking up the cast, because I was like, I feel like all of these, I mean, obviously Tracee Ellis Ross, but I feel like all of these women, you see in other stuff, right? You still see them.
The actor who played Tony, you don't see her a lot and stuff. She was on, she played a cop on, that one Starz show, Ash vs. Evil Dead. But I don't know what she's done other than that. Like, she did a lesbian movie. I know that.
Oh, nice.
And you're like, oh, nice.
Standing. Immediately.
Tony, the thing is this show was definitely marketed as, like, the black Sex in the City.
Oh, for sure. And what was that, although it was, like, you know, definitely more of a sitcom, but what was that show that Queen Latifah used to be on?
Living Single?
Yeah, I feel like this show is the, like, successor of that.
Yeah, because Living Single was, like, Black Friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was, you know, and the funny thing is these black versions of these shows were, like, very successful in and of themselves as well.
Yeah.
So they never lived in the shadow of those shows. Because, funnily enough, and I don't know if I've ever talked, I don't know if I've talked to you about this before or if I said this on the podcast, but I definitely remember reading an article before that was talking about, it talked about Living Single, And the thing is Living Single came out before Friends and was the blueprint for Friends. Like, the guy... Where did Friends come on? ABC, I think? I think it was,
NBC.
Like...
NBC.
Okay. Well, it was... Whoever was head of development at the time, he was like, oh, I really wish we had Living Single, and instead decided to do Friends. And
the white version.
Yeah. Because it was like... Living Single was, like, a huge hit at the time, and
yeah.
So, you know, they really ripped that off. But, you know, whatever. History
That's
does that.
Interesting. I think we... Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was it.
No, I was gonna say, I think we have talked about this before.
Yeah. I probably have, because, you know, I often talk about how I don't like Friends, and I feel like after I learned that, I started to dislike Friends a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, that does not even remotely surprise me. And just thinking about how successful Friends became and, like, how much Friends is still talked about versus, like, if you say Living Single, people are like, what? And you're like, the one that Queen Latifah was on. And people are like, oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, so, Queen Latifah, she's that person. She was in Bringing Down the House.
Remember her. My mom always calls her a lesbian, and I'm like, okay.
I mean, the rumors have been swirling around her for, like, ever, I feel.
Yeah.
But maybe she's just a successful woman who likes to be by herself. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Either way.
You ain't got nobody to take your money.
Exactly.
And that's really...
That one quote from Whoopi Goldberg, where she's like, I don't want anybody in my house.
Relatable content.
Oh, so relatable. Anyway, yeah, girlfriends. I don't remember who I, like... I probably latched on to Tracee Ellis Ross the most, just because, like... I feel like she was the most dynamic...
Because you're a Carrie, is that why?
Shut up. I am, though.
Even though now, probably, you would relate more to Lynn, because, again, she was the one who was, like, aimless.
Hey, I have a job.
Yeah, she eventually got a job, but she also had, like, 15 degrees because she wouldn't stop going to school because she didn't want to figure out what to do with her life.
That's hilarious. See, I would not do that.
Me either. Like, I talk about this all the time. I was just like, once I got to the end of my master's degree, I was just like, if I never have to set foot in a school ever again, it would be too soon.
I know. Like, I feel like maybe I have to be, like, 47 and go back, but...
I've just been, like... I've weirdly been thinking about, like, having, well, not me having kids, but, like, you know, having children and having to deal with them going to school, and I'm like, oh, I would just have, like, traumatic war flashbacks going into a school. They're
God,
like,
I know, right?
School, blah, 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 PTA. I'm like, no!
Oh. No! Like, yeah, no. Hopefully by the, you know... God forbid we ever have children, but hopefully by the time they go to school, it will be very different.
Yeah.
Or college, at least, will be different.
Didn't Reba come on the WB?
Yeah, probably. I don't remember the channels, to be honest with you.
I remember in syndication it came on, like, ABC Family, but...
Yeah.
I want to say it came on WB.
It was probably WB. I think I only ever watched Reba in syndication.
Me too.
I don't think I watched it when it was, like, airing.
And really, all it was is I accidentally stumbled upon it one day because it would just ran... Because on ABC Family, they just, like, show reruns and reruns of, like, whatever show they have. And Reba used to be on for, like, a good block of, like, maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I never really paid attention to it until one day I just sat down and watched it. And I was like, oh, I like this. But really what got me is the goddamn theme song.
I mean, that's fair because she is a singer.
Yeah. And she sang the hell out of that theme song.
I feel like we
quit hey! The
I feel like we quote that theme song at each other so often.
I'm a survivor.
Just like every conversation is peppered with like, hey!
It's just so good. It's such a classic. It's really just one of those themes. Like, that's the thing with Thousand Shows is they had like really good theme songs. Because like, What I Like About You had the cover of What I Like About You. By whoever. I don't even know who the fuck sang it.
Some girl band.
I want to say it was Lilix, but I'm not 100%.
Ooh, you might be right. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was also definitely a staple of Thousand sitcoms was very memorable, catchy theme songs.
Yeah, because Girlfriends also had a very memorable one. It was very, like, sultry. It's just like, my girlfriends. While they just, like, subtly pose or, like, move slowly.
They were, like, kind of walking, not really.
Yeah. It's kind of like soap opera openings where they have, like, the like, fades. But, like, the people are just, like, slowly moving, and it's just, like, fade, fade.
They're, like, kind of turning around. But even, like, Will and Grace, which was just, like, an instrumental thing that they had, like, done for the show. So memorable. Like, you can remember it so clearly.
I know. I love that instrumental.
But I do think that if we're going to talk about Reba, we have to talk about Barbara Jean. Because she's,
again, dumb blonde.
Yeah, there you go. Who was... I feel like if she wasn't married to the ex-husband, would have been a slutty character.
Yes. But, again, they were going with wholesome, so they had to be, like, monogamy.
Well, I just, like... I mean, I did love the premise of, like, the whole, like, divorced... but still in each other's lives sort of a thing, because I feel like it was trying to pick up on that whole, like, it was like, oh, everybody's getting divorced now. We better, like, do something related to that, you know? But the fact that they were, like, in each other's, like, you couldn't call it an amicable divorce, but they were still, like, in each other's lives.
Yeah, because they had, like, 3 or 4 kids.
I think they had 3. There was the older daughter.
Yeah, who ended up marrying the idiot Van.
Yep. He was also amazing. There was a teenage daughter who, like, that poor actress went through some shit on that show, I feel like. She really, like, she went through puberty on that show, and it was hard to watch. Yeah.
True.
And then they had the kid.
The younger boy.
The boy, yeah. So they did still have, like, kids who are in... Because Cheyenne is 18, I think, when the show starts, and she's pregnant. And that's what... I think that's the pilot.
Oh. You know what? You might be right.
Yeah.
I haven't watched that show in so long, I completely forgot, like, the actual plot lines. I just tuned in for the shenanigans.
I don't know why I remember the plot lines so well. But,
did you relate?
Yeah, that whole, big family, divorced parents, multiple siblings, very relatable to me.
Dumb boyfriend.
As a child of a single mother. but yeah, no, the best was definitely the dynamic between, like, Reba and Barbara Jean, and just Barbara Jean just being like, we're gonna be friends! Reba just being like, you're married to my ex-husband! Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It definitely was one of those, it was definitely one of those shows where it was like, can the ex-wife and the new wife be friends type thing? And they really, I mean, I feel like at one point they did kind of, they did become friends, but... You know, Reba was very much, like, adamantly against it at first.
Oh, yeah. Like, by the end of the show, they definitely were friends. I mean, like, to me, there's no funnier dynamic than, like, when one character hates another character, but that other character wants nothing more than friendship from them.
It's a great trope.
There's nothing funnier to me. Actually, that just reminded me of The New Adventures of Old Christine.
Oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that show.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
My first car, I named it Christine. Because
after that show?
Kind of, but also it was like an old BMW, and I had gotten into two accidents in that car before I actually had a license.
Oh, boy.
So and yet I was like, this car just keeps on kicking. And I was like, so when my mom gave it to me, I was just like, it's The New Adventures of Old Christine. But I really liked that show, because, I mean...
That was a funny show, yeah.
I mean, I love What's-Her-Face, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
She's just... Anything she does is great. I mean, that show was, like, average at best, but she really just made it amazing.
I'm remembering, I don't know why, in my mind, a specific scene stands out where she was, like, trying to pour an entire bottle of, or like, what was left of a bottle of wine into a wine glass, and it was, like, almost full, and she couldn't pick it up, so she was just, like, trying to sip it.
Oh, my God.
Talk about relatable content.
I know. Yeah, I feel like she should never be off of our TV screens. Like, she should never... There should never be a moment where she is not employed by television. She should always have a show.
Yeah, because isn't this the last season of Veep?
I think so. I think she also had breast cancer.
Oh, wow.
Like, last year, because Veep went on hiatus, and then I feel like I remember hearing that she had breast cancer. I kind of hope this is the last season of Veep, though.
I'm a survivor!
It's funny, it's Veep. Oh, God.
Sorry, I was holding that in.
Not very well. Oh, God. Yeah, I feel like Veep has kind of had its run by this point, and that's all I have to say about Veep.
You remember the Drew Carey show? Because
I do.
Did that one come... See, the thing is I'm thinking about shows that came on the WB, but I'm like, I don't remember if that one was WB or Fox.
I think that might have been Fox.
Also, this was probably the point in time where Fox had some of its best content.
Well, wait, what was, what did this line, is it anyway? Come on, bless you.
Oh, I want to say Whose Line came on WB. Like, I want to say that came on a completely different network. It was either that or, because like, NBC or something.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they were the same. It was the same network. Because it was Drew Carey was one of the exec producers. And then Ryan Stiles was also on that show. Remember?
Yeah.
So.
I don't really remember. I just remember... Yeah. I remember very weird things from that. I remember most, like... His friends, literally, like, his three best friends were always on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Which was weird because I was just like, why is Wayne Brady never on this show? Like,
oh, I wish Wayne Brady would have been on that.
And I remember that's where my love for Diedrich Bader started.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. He was great. Mimi was great. I want to know what happened to her.
The dynamic between Drew Carey and Mimi was, like, probably one of the funniest on television to me, just because...
It was.
They hated each other.
Yep.
Were not secretive about it, worked in the same place, and constantly tried to sabotage one another. Like, I think there was a whole episode where they had, like, a prank war or something.
Yeah, there were definitely... something along those lines, or they were just trying to fully sabotage each other's, like, careers. And I don't remember if they ever, like, teased a romance between them.
I think there was one episode where they, like, kind of
yeah
did, but it was like really weird. They were like, yeah, let's not do that.
Because I think that his main like love interest was the one. Was that the same actress from Scrubs? Was that her? Bill Lawrence's wife? I forget her name.
Maybe. I don't know. I can't even remember his love interest on that show.
Right? It was the girl friend.
Well, both of those shows came on ABC. I looked that up, so.
Oh, it was ABC.
Yeah. You know, that other network that we're just talking
right,
around.
Right. The other network. Totally forgot. Yeah, it was her. It was Kristen Miller.
Mm. Wow.
Who was also in Cougar Town.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's such a weird pairing.
Yeah, but I definitely remember that they were.
This was also back when they were kind of starting up with that whole fat guy, skinny wife trope for sitcoms.
Yeah, it was definitely the peak of that, because you also had, like, According to Jim, and, like, King of the Hill, and, like, all that. That was also mid-thousands.
Ugh, I love King of the Hill.
Yeah.
It's just really funny to me.
I could never quite get into that one. I think, like, marriage life sitcoms to me were not interesting.
I mean, that's fair. Although, I was really into My Wife and Kids.
Yeah, that one was just funny. Like, that was just, no matter what you, like, thought of the subject matter, it was a funny show.
Yeah. It was based on, I think it's, what made it funny was the fact that it was based off of Damon Wayans' actual
life. His real life.
Yeah. Like, it was loosely based off his actual life.
Yeah. I remember loving the wife in that show. She was very funny.
Oh, yeah. Well, the funny thing about that is she was on a show right before that, called All of Us, and All of Us is based off of, it was loosely based off of Will Smith's life with his, like, first wife and when he was dating Jada Pinkett when he first started dating.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's, like, loosely based off of that. Like, I was having a conversation about that with my mom the other day, because I was just like, wasn't that what it was based off of? She was like, loosely.
Loosely.
But, yeah, she played the girlfriend on that show, and then when that show got canceled, she went over and played the wife on My Wife and Kids. And I think, which is funny, because that show was way more successful.
Yeah.
So...
Probably because of Damon Wayans.
Very true. Well, the Wayans in general are just great. Like, I mean...
Yeah, they are.
They always come out with really funny content. I mean, they gave us the first two Scary Movie movies, which are hilarious.
Which are classics.
I want to say they might have done the third one, too, but I definitely know they specifically did the first two. Which is why they are rated R, and also the way that they are.
Yeah, they are 100% classics.
I'm trying to, like, look at this list and see what else is on here. Oh, That 70s Show.
Well, That 70s Show was a huge part of the 2000s TV landscape for me. But I also feel like it's one of those ones that people still talk about.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone watched That 70s Show.
Which might have contributed to a whole generation of stoners.
Maybe. I think what, like, That 70s Show, out of anything on this list, is, like, what I watched the most and remember the most vividly. And, like, I definitely rewatched it at some point. Like, it was on Netflix, I think, at one point.
Is it not anymore?
I don't know. I don't forget. But I definitely, at some point, went through and watched the whole series.
I've never seen the whole thing all the way through.
I don't know that I have either, because the last couple of seasons are bad.
I remember when Eric left and they replaced him with that blonde dude. Yeah, that was bad.
God. Also, I feel like also a staple of 2000 sitcoms where, like, a major character would leave and then they would replace them and then it would be bad.
Didn't they replace the sister in that show? Or did she just disappear?
No, yeah, she just, like, wasn't on the show a lot.
Yeah.
But they never, I don't think they ever replaced her actress. I think she just, like, wasn't on it anymore after a while.
I want to say I read something about there were some issues with that particular actress, like...
She definitely died, but I don't know if it was while she was working on the show or later. But she did definitely pass away from, like, a drug overdose.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the issues were drug-related with her.
With drugs, yeah.
So I think what ended up happening is she might have gotten fired, and then that happened afterwards.
Yeah, no, she definitely did die.
Well, that's somber. Speaking of dying, do you remember that 80s show?
I remember never watching it.
I didn't either. I just remember they tried to make it happen, and then the general populace was like, no, thank you. They're like, that 70s show is already going downhill. I don't want a part two.
Yeah. I have seen clips of Glenn Howerton in it, though, which is just amazing.
Almost traumatic. I can't believe, like, when you said that to me earlier, I was just like, what?
He has a fro. He has, like, a perm.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He has, like, a little poofy poo. It's very funny. You should definitely just, like, Google that 80s show, Glenn Howerton. I'm sure you'll find clips of it. It's amazing. And I feel like he should be reminded of that every now and then, just to knock him down a peg, because I feel like Glenn Howerton is just too up on his little...
If I ever meet him, I'm going to go with a photo. I'm going to go with that photo and be like, can you sign this? And then I'm going to film his reaction.
Just a screenshot of him from that 80s show. Oh, I love it.
I think that's really just what I want.
But if we're going to talk about that 70s show, can we talk about two things? I want to mention two things.
Okay.
One, it is complete bullshit that Jackie and Hyde did not end up together.
True.
And two, how crazy is it that Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are now, like, for realsies married with a kid, and when she started that show, she was, like, 14 or something, and he was her first kiss on the show.
Yeah, she, like, lied about her age so that she could be on the show.
How iconic is she, just in general?
I know.
She was like, yeah, I'm definitely 18, and she was like, definitely 14.
To which they were just like, I don't fucking know. They're like, is she 18? I don't fucking know.
They were like, sure, whatever. Sign the fucking papers.
They just really wanted her because, honestly, what would that show be without her?
Yeah. 100%.
No one else could have played Jackie, in my mind.
Yeah. No. Jackie is probably one of the most iconic characters of television, in general.
She has the same... Like, the octave in which she says, Michael, is, like, the same that Alexis says, ew, David. It's, like, ew, almost David. The same.
You're so right. I feel like without Jackie Burkhart, like, we could not have Alexis Rose. We could not have Tahani Aljamil. Like, we could not have some of the iconic bitchy women of television today. Not that they're quote-unquote bitchy, but you know what I mean.
I can't run across the beach into my own arms. There's so many great one-liners that Jackie says.
She's like, I choose me. If I could run across the beach into my own arms, I would.
I'm a tiny woman with a shrill voice or something like that.
Yeah.
I could break, I don't know. There's just like a lot of really great one-liners. Donna, books are for prisoners.
Books are number of prisoners. And then the screen cap of
her on Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black.
So good.
Oh, man. So funny, like, that's also, like, one of those shows where, like, all the actors went on to, like, do something weird.
Yeah.
Like, Ashton Kutcher is obviously, like, famous, like, aside from that, and so is Mila Kunis. But then you have, like...
Topher Grace.
Topher Grace, who did, like, a bunch of weird indie movies, and then, like, God, what is that actress's name?
Who, Laura Prepon?
Yeah, Laura Prepon. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, there we go.
She went on to star in that movie with, fucking what's-his-face from Supernatural, Misha Cohen. Ugh, I forget what the name of this movie is, but there was a span of time, like, way back, I want to say it was around, like, season 4 of Supernatural, when I was on Tumblr and shit, you know, back when Tumblr used to be poppin', and I remember there was a group of us, of the Supernatural fandom, who really latched onto that movie, and we were really into it because it was so ridiculous, like... Basically, it was, like, about Misha Cohen's character, who was married to Laura Prepon, and he, like, abducted women and, like, kept them hostage, and she was, like, an accessory to that and did nothing what? About it. Yeah, and the funny thing is he would just, like, beat her ass, basically. And the thing is I'm like, this, like, domestic violence and abduction aren't funny in the slightest. But what was funny about this movie...
Disclaimer.
I have to. Because, like, I feel like people are going to get mad at me because I laughed at this. Much like how I laugh at Precious. But I don't want to... Anyway. So, the thing is... The thing about it is it was the way that they handled it was really funny. Like, there's one scene where Laura Prepon is, like, thrown down some stairs and it's, like... It's, like, soap opera level dramatic where you're just, like, what's going on? And it's supposed to be serious, and you can't take it seriously because it's so ridiculous.
I mean, that's obviously my favorite kind of,
Like, I'm gonna have to, like, go back and find this movie.
I found it. I was looking for it. Okay. It's called Carla.
Yes!
Carla with
a K. What does it have? Are you looking at it on IMDb? What rating does it have?
5.5.
That is the most shocking thing I have ever heard.
5.5.
I am so surprised. I thought you were going to say like 3. Because that's what it deserves.
What on IMDb does have 3? That's my
very weird things.
Look at this photo, like, from the movie.
Yes! That's what I'm talking about! It's so... This movie is so ridiculous. Like, go watch it and tell me if I'm wrong for laughing at some of this stuff, because it's like...
Oh, God.
It's just so ridiculous. I want to say it's a made-for-TV movie, but I'm not 100%. It's definitely Canadian. I know that for certain.
Yeah, looks like it. Wow, that's hilarious.
And what a moment. What a moment.
What a moment.
Ah, that's history.
Oh, God.
Just going to quote several bits of that one specific interview. But yeah, you're right. Jackie and Hyde not ending up together was bullshit.
That was... They're, like, probably one of my favorite TV couples. Just in the way that their dynamic unfolded throughout the seasons. From them, like, hating each other. To just, like... being one of the best couples on the show. And, like, if she wasn't going to end up with Hyde, it's like, okay, obviously she's going to end up with Kelso, right? No, she ends up with fucking Fizz.
Why? Because they were like, Fizz hasn't been with anyone.
Oh, poor Fizz. He really was. He got the short end of the stick all the time.
Yeah, also they never said where he was from, and wasn't Fizz, like, an acronym for something?
Yeah, I was short for foreign exchange student.
Which is annoying. Yeah. He didn't even have an actual name. That was, like, low-key racist.
They should have just called him Brown Person.
That would have been weirdly less racist. Brown person from a foreign country. But, you know.
Knocking things over here. Yeah, I think Jackie also is so iconic because she goes from... She really has the Rachel Green transformation where she goes from, like, really ditzy, rich, spoiled girl to, like, totally dynamic, fun character who, like, has direction and is interesting and funny.
If you're wondering who Grace relates to in this show...
Fuck off. I actually relate the most to Hyde, I think. He's probably...
I could agree. I can actually agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever really related to any of the characters in that show. I just watched it for the shenanigans.
You don't relate to Jackie?
Okay, maybe I do.
I think everyone relates a little bit to Jackie.
Also, another sitcom with a classic theme.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to say that about the Drew Carey show, too.
Oh, yeah, Cleveland Rocks.
Cleveland Rocks, yeah. But yeah, 70s Show had the great, great theme song.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of concludes that for this episode. We're probably going to keep talking about this. This is...
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a part two to this. Just there's so many shows.
I know. We didn't even get into any of the other, like... You know, actual age-appropriate shows that we watched.
True.
These were all shows that were above our demographic, and yet we watched them anyway.
No, I think that 70s show was, like, directed towards teens. Because they were really teens in the beginning of the show.
Yeah, weren't they, like, 15 or something like that? They were, like, yeah, really young.
They were, like, sophomores, or they were juniors.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. They were, like, juniors in high school.
Wow.
Because I feel like that's like a common age
starting point.
Yeah, because it's that really that point where you start to like gain, I was gonna say gain sentience.
It's when you start to become an actual person.
But like kind of, you get like a little bit more independence in your life and like a little bit more. The other thing about that 70s show that I always think about is, that was another one that I watched with my mom. And she loved, loved, loved that show because she said it really, really was her childhood. Like, she's like, this is so accurate to what that time period was like. Like, every part of it, probably the smoking pot the most, but.
Which is funny because, like, I didn't even know, like, when I was younger, I didn't even realize that was what they were doing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just thought they were just sitting around in a hazy circle. They're like, oh, they're about to do the circle montage thing.
They just were lighting some incense. Yeah, that was a pretty, like, iconic thing to do for television at that time, I feel like. Like, that circle thing, like, the fact that it became a staple of the show.
Yeah.
Was a very, yeah, it was a cool thing that they did. They broke away from the typical multicam.
What a moment. That's history.
Alrighty.
Well, as always, Insomniacs, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.